As you're aware, our 2045 Metropolitan Transportation Plan just cleared the federal review process, so I was able to take part in communicating with the public and various stakeholders throughout that entire process. And it's really exciting because it's an opportunity to really meet the rapidly changing transportation needs in an economically growing region by collaborating with the public and various stakeholders.
So you have these two areas, an area that is growing and shifting needs. So what was the public telling you, and how did it line up with what you think the region needs?
So for the 2045 Metropolitan Transportation Plan, which is our long-range planning document for the region, one of the first steps was conducting a public survey. So that survey asked 10 different questions to the public, and we had 867 responses to that that represented the whole region. We planned for Kent and Eastern Ottawa County. So as responses came in, we were able to map the different zip code areas to make sure that all areas were included, and the top priorities from the public were, by a long shot, improving roadway pavement condition was the winner. And then behind that was use technology to reduce traffic congestion and delays. And then the third choice was wide and busy roads and interchanges. And that was very close to reflecting the results of the survey that we did 5 years ago for our last long-range plan. So we're continuing to see these trends carrying forward.
One in three seem obvious. Number two, explain a little bit about the implementation of new technologies.
That is kind of complex. So basically, we have ITS technology that can't, I don't know if you've seen like dynamic message boards on the highways where they'll say like this number of minutes to get to this destination and such. Using technology in that way could potentially help reduce traffic congestion, and technology is always advancing. We have a brand new chapter in the MTP on autonomous vehicles, so that is another area where technology can really show up and potentially, it is a new area, but it could potentially reduce congestion if you could get more people on an autonomous vehicle.
And public transportation, what are some of the needs there?
Those are far and wide. The Rapid was able to provide us with a long list of needs for their, and they have a lot of unfunded needs as well. And we heard a lot of comments from the public, 500 and some people who filled out. The survey also left comments, and one of the major areas that were commented on was public transit and with requests for more service times, safety issues. There were a wide variety.
Every 5 years, this gets updated. And of course, we're looking at a 25-year plan. So short term, what are we going to see in the next few years? And then what are some of the big long-term projects?
Okay, so it gets a little bit complicated with explaining this, but the long-range plan basically lays out our priorities for investing in the transportation system. And it's updated every 4 years. There was an extra year that we were given for this plan because of an air quality issue. So we were given an extra year for that. But it's typically every 4 years, just as background for you for that. So the long range plan includes transportation projects and investment priorities for the future. And then we have our short range plan, which is the transportation improvement program. And that lists transportation projects from 2020 to 2023. So those projects are included in the long-range plan, and then we also have bins of funding in the long-range plan beyond 2023. We have various federal funding sources. Some of them are very flexible and can be used for a wide variety of projects. Some of them are very specific, like, for instance, our transportation alternative program funding can only be used for non-motorized projects. So beyond 2023, we have a lot of bins of funding in the long-range plan that has yet to be allocated, and that was a decision that was made by our committees as we went through the process. They recognized that we are in a rapidly growing and changing city. Needs change based on what is going on. I know we've gone through some pretty major shifts with COVID right now where, you know, that might have an impact on this down the road. So they wanted to wait on programming those bins of funding until they have a better idea in the future, like the next go around of when we develop our next short range plan, the TIP, to program those funds. But we do have some long range projects in the plan from MDOT, and then we also have illustrative projects, which means that they don't have committed funding from our local jurisdictions.
It sounds like there are maybe some rails to trails programs, that type of thing, that there are dollars allocated for with some of the park systems.
With non-motorized, they do have their own bin of funding, but we can also use other funding sources to fund non-motorized. Some funding sources are very specific to just certain types of projects. Other funding sources are more broad and can be more flexible in how they're programmed.
So how much money are we talking about here from the feds?
Overall, we have for state, federal, and local money, we have $6.8 billion that we're anticipating seeing, and that based on our financial analysis that we did last fall, if we include transit, it's $10.8
billion. And that's over the 25 funding. Years?
Over the 25 years, correct.
Is this all guaranteed money at this point?
It is not. I mean, the only projects that are guaranteed that are in there that have committed funding are on the project list, and that is our TIP, which is 2020 to 2023, and the projects that were listed by MDOT have commitments as well. So anything else is not guaranteed at this point. I just want to emphasize the gratitude to the local community, because we were able to reach so many people with the survey, and that survey was foundational to the document. So by starting with that survey so early and really getting a pulse on what the needs of the public were, we were able to integrate that into the document, into the vision statement, into the goals and objectives. We conducted a needs analysis. So basically, the purpose of the long-range plan, or long-range plan, is to look at the needs of the system, say, okay, this is where we are, and this is where we need to go to have the system functioning optimally, and this is the money that we need to get there, and this is the money that we have. And there is a shortfall in federal funding, so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out in the future, but having all of that public input early on, and by mapping the survey results to make sure every area was included, and then for areas that were lower in responses, I was able to physically go to different events in those communities. We printed hard copies of the survey for senior neighbors to distribute to seniors who didn't have internet access. I helped a couple people fill out the survey who identified themselves as being illiterate. I went to Rapid Central Station and set up a table there during rush hours. So we really made sure that the results that we were getting were far-reaching and were representative of the area. And then the committees that we worked with through the process also contained representatives of or from the area. I just wanted to emphasize the collaborative efforts that took place between the public, various stakeholders. We reach out to various stakeholders that are involved in freight movement, who have an environmental aspect to what they do and such, and coordinate with them, run any proposed projects past them. We conduct environmental justice, so we make sure that none of the projects could adversely impact any population group. And at the end of the day, we have a 359-page document that's the result of a lot of collaboration that includes voices from a lot of people. Public comments are strewn throughout it, kind of woven into it to emphasize what the needs are that we've identified and what they need to see to be happy with the system.
Andrea Faber, you are a transportation planner with the Grand Valley Metro Council. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Patrick.